flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast. Come on, Red!
Go Birds! Go Birds!
Hey, hello. It is the Go Birds Podcast presented by the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. Elliot Short Parks, James Setzer with you. Elliot, getting pretty, looking good. If you are not, I always say tune in for the YouTube so you can, you know, get the full experience. Today was a day you really should have tuned in because, as you can see, Elliot, you get to see Elliot's beauty routine.
Today's the day I throw any self-awareness out the window. I have no shame. Let me tell you. All right. Can we just get right into this? Can we just start? Well, actually,
with
should we
your
do
eye thing? Yes. So my wife and daughter wear the same things. They have
I'll
tried
be
to get
curious
me to
know
it.
What brand they use. Yeah, maybe we can
I could
text
get that information
share,
for you.
Share beauty treats.
Zoe
yeah.
loves wearing them.
Dude,
it's
I'm
actually
telling
adorable.
You. All right, I'm telling you to everyone listening, they are the best thing. There are a few things I look forward to on the day than putting these things on my eyes and feeling the coolness around it. Like, I'm just letting you know, like, you guys are laughing. Tucker, I think you would enjoy it. James, you've tried it.
I've tried it and I did not enjoy it. See, that was the exact thing. The cool, like, it feels like I'm just like,
yeah, it's like
wetness
cool, like,
under
it's
my
like
eyes.
A, right.
Why
it's
do
almost
I want
like
that?
A, it's not like a slime. That's not right the way to put
that's
it.
That's what it feels like, though. It feels
yeah,
slimy
exactly.
and gross.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's the
fan.
Best. Dude, yeah. I ordered a whole new pack to bring. I have them in the fridge here at the hotel.
At least
what I wouldn't
green.
Give.
I'll
yeah,
give
well,
that.
That's it. Well, they're also kind of like football eye patches. That's how I'm looking.
They
at
do
it.
Look. I, at first, when you first popped on a half second of is he wearing?
Yeah, I just I figured I'd get right into it. So I do have a big picture thought, but do we want to do inner excellence first?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're bringing it in here, big dog. All right, we got day 30. We got inner excellence. We got
okay.
media night
all right,
coming
all right. up.
All right,
oh, I know.
Trust over
me.
Here. All right, day 30. Before we get to inner excellence, so tell me if I've said I'm bad at numbers. The only one that I think. Is number 30 was Corey Clement number 30?
Yeah, that was the yeah. obvious one. That was the
I
one I
one.
Thought of. Yeah,
right,
Corey
good.
Clement.
I mean, I've watched that Super Bowl like 50 times.
There's
I should probably
three
know,
others
but.
That I can.
Okay, pick. So for some reason,
I got nothing else. I had it's Corey Clement day for me over here.
Sean Considine?
Wow. No, Colt Anderson.
Oh, okay. Colt Anderson.
Sean remember? Considine was 37.
Man, remember the Colt Anderson days? That was something.
Yeah. Wait, what about, didn't Quinion wear 37 in camp? Or am I wrong about that?
He wore 30 in camp. That was
he wore 30
was another
in camp.
One.
That was it. Was J.R., remember J.R. Reed?
J.R. Reed.
Of course I remember J.R. Reed. Was he
yeah.
the
tore up his knee? Jumping
yes.
a fence.
Oh, he
jumping
a
fence. Chased by a dog.
Yeah. That
no,
was
I actually think
when,
he
like,
tore
injuries
up his
could,
foot.
Like, end his career. No, it was his, I thought it was his knee.
I
his
thought
knee.
He...
I think it's his name.
Are you? I thought he pinched a nerve on the bottom of his foot. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I remember it ended his foot. I thought he hit the bottom.
He came back. He came back like 2 years later.
It ended his career for real. He was never the same player. He never had.
Was he 30 though?
He was 30.
There
was one more who is a kick returner. Some think he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, Brian Mitchell.
Brian Mitchell.
Oh yeah. Oh, that
he's on. He's on Radio Row, which is what made me.
I saw him chatting with you this morning. That's what made me think of it.
You saw him chatting with me?
Hugh.
With you.
Oh, okay.
Hugh.
I was going to say it.
With
I'm not going to lie. Hugh and you sound insanely alike.
I love how he's like, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to say something revelatory thought about. Yes, anyone named Hugh, we all know this. This is like a common thing.
As someone who has to transcribe videos of the midday show, I promise you, it's always Hugh and you get mixed up.
100%. It was funny. Yesterday on Radio Row, so we're set up, our table is set up like pretty close to the Washington, D.C. Odyssey station. And for like 3 minutes, I was just being like, last week was Washington. They're not a real team. They're not a real contender. It's a good test, but it wasn't a great test.
You love trolling people.
And I swear they were looking at me the whole time, just being like, this guy, like, but it is true. Like, it is true that while Washington was a hot team and it was a good, you know, test or whatever, like, the Chiefs are just a completely different animal when it comes to the test that they'll have in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. Pretty obvious statement, but
all right, well, I got news for you, buddy. If you don't like obvious statements, get ready for not a fun next 25 minutes for you.
All right, let's do some Jimbo Murphy, see what Jimbo's up to.
All right, by the way, I haven't seen Jim Murphy on Radio Row.
He'll be there. This is an all-time opportunity for Big Jim.
Okay, I think we actually heard this James one, which
Cameron,
is pretty
by the
crazy.
Way, I know you are the only Big Jim. I will not call anyone else Big Jim.
Jim, he was in a movie I watched recently. Wait, wasn't he in the Saturday Night Live movie?
James
not him.
Cameron?
No, sorry. I'm thinking of Jim Henson. My bad. I was thinking of the Muppets.
What?
Yeah.
What
close.
A pivot. Yes. Close. The character Jim Henson is in the Saturday Night
Live. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Not close. Jim Henson, Jim Cameron, not close.
Both start with J. Inner Excellence. Jim, here we go.
James, but yes, go start with J. Go ahead.
You know, between the eye patches and the self-help book right now, I do feel like I'm getting some much needed rest. I get to see your face, I don't get to see Tucker, but I get to hear him. Ah. Okay. The story in your heart. Imagine just tuning into the live feed on WIP right now and like, what in the world is going on on the station people used to love? No. What's controlling you at any given moment are the stories and ideas that have settled into your heart, especially the overall story you've come to believe about who you are. What's more valuable, what's most important, and what's possible in your life? These all have a tremendous impact on your moment-to-moment energy or your state. I got nothing with that one, to be honest.
I'm committed to the bit. I'm getting to the point where I tune out every time we read Inner Excellence. I'm just like, all right, I get it, Jim. Keep saying the same thing over and over again, more or less.
Especially the overall story you've come to believe about who you are. Mm-hmm. I think there is truth to that in terms of like...
Yeah, of course.
I don't know.
There's truth to a lot of this stuff in here. It feels like it's like... Again,
you're not a self-help book guy.
I feel like I could have written this book if I wanted to, and that makes it less impressive.
Well, to be fair,
I just spout off a bunch of cliches and I'd be fine, and I did a book.
So to be fair, you do love cliches for what it's worth.
I do, when they're cliches for a reason.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
agree. Yes.
And there's probably lots of books you can write because you read a lot of books.
I do read a lot of books, but I've never claimed to write one.
I think you could write one, though.
Thanks, buddy. Your belief in me really just lifts me up every day, you know?
No problem.
All right. You want to do your big picture thought before we
get to Can I do my big picture thought?
Yes. And clearly, it's all you want to do. You came in with a thought and an idea, and you want to get to it.
For like 40 minutes, I've been thinking about telling you this. So I'm ready to get
The buildup better be worth the payoff.
It's not going to be. So
when is it? I mean, right?
Amen. All right. So... This is the sixth Super Bowl I've covered. So I know this is going to come across.
You just threw that. You heard that, right? I don't know. It's like the sixth one. No big deal.
Yeah,
to me,
I can't remember if it's five or six. I mean, like when you cover the Eagles, this is what happens, right? Yes. But and I know this is going to qualify as like a duh thing, but it really has hit me this week. And I just want your opinion on it because I do think you're going to agree with it. It is crazy to think that it is the biggest game of these guys' career. They spend all year doing it one way, right? They go to the NovaCare and they work out with these weights. They eat this food at this time. They have this meeting at this time. They go home to their house. They sleep there. And that is what helps them be great all year, if you think about it. Like, I'm a pretty regimented guy. I feel like you're a pretty regimented guy. Your schedule's a little crazier, but...
More like, so since the morning show. I feel like
you have to
be regimented to survive, but yes.
It is crazy to think that in the biggest professional day of what could end up being their entire life, right? There's a chance the Eagles never play in a game as big as this one again. I think they will, but you never know, right? that they just throw them in a different city, in a hotel, different food, different weight room, like different schedule, getting pulled 800,000 ways. When I'm at media night last night, and I love media night, and I think it's fun, and da da da, it's crazy to think that 4 days before the biggest game they ever have to play, they have to go and spend like 3 hours of their day doing that. Like, it is wild to think. Like, I get it, and it's not about the game and all that, but like, man, it is a distraction. It is. Like,
who handles it well, but... I think it's part of the game, obviously. It's part of the whole...
Yeah, exactly, you know, yeah.
How these teams handle... But look, I mean, you're basically saying what Alshon Jeffrey said in that legendary Super Bowl interview. I mean, that's why it's so great. He's like, I'm sure my football is so dumb. I hate all this. Like, let me just play football. Like, it is, I would think that a lot of the players feel what you're feeling and what you're thinking. And it's just like, hey, like, this is way too much when I'm just trying to go and play a football game. But at the same time, I will say, I fully support it. Like,
oh, me too.
It's the Super Bowl. Like, yep, it should be this big deal. It should be in a different place. Like, I don't think a team should have a home field advantage in the Super Bowl unless their fans show up or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I support the way this. I think they should have the extra week off. I think they should put these players on a pedestal and all these guys should get their moment talking to the world, whether they want it or not. So, like, I love it, but I agree with you. It is crazy to think about that it is so one way, and then you end the season with this party, essentially.
So I love it too, to be clear. I don't see how it doesn't impact how you play in the game.
Like, it has to be so hard.
Yeah.
Calculus.
No,
yeah,
right. That's the hard.
And that's why we talk about, you know, going back. It's important they were there 2 years ago. It's important. Like, even, you know, it gets brought up every year when we talk about the game and teams talk about the Super Bowl, but like the 40-minute halftime, you know, like all this stuff. It's all these things that are different from the norm. It's not the thing you're used to. So. Yeah. You know, I actually think it's a fascinating, Jason Kelce loves to say, he said it so many times on the morning show, and I'm sure other people have heard it say in other places, but you know, one of his favorite things about football is it's about who's better that day in those conditions. And that's why he defends the field in the Super Bowl. He's like, I hate it, but he's like, that's what football is. It's like, you take the conditions, the field, the situation, all that, and who's better that day. So I do think that, you know, that's part of this. It's how do you handle all this stuff and still go out and perform, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. But I do think that's also where Jalen's personality is like very set up for a week like this. While I am sure he hates it because he strikes me as an extremely regimented guy. Like, this is what I do, like, day in and day out, like to the minute. But like I also don't believe is easily distracted. You know, like I'm sure he's thought this all out. And we were talking about this on the morning show, but I think it's 100% true that, you know, Joe DeCamera asked me like, you know, what's the team's vibe? Like, do they feel like they're being slighted by being an underdog? Do they feel like they're really reveling in the Super Bowl? And the vibe I got being around them last night at media night, like they had fun with it. And we'll talk about who like shined and was a star and all that. But it's really the same vibe I felt from this team from training camp, which is all they talk about is winning the Super Bowl. Like, that is the sole focus. And I know people will hear that and go, well, of course, every team, that's their focus. But I'm telling you, I've been around every Eagles team for the last 12 years. Like, it's not that. Like, in 2017, it wasn't that. They weren't supposed to win the Super Bowl. In 2022, they weren't supposed to go to the Super Bowl. As the seasons went on, they became those teams. But the difference is, this team, every single time you ask them a question about, is this a potential distraction? Like, what about this? What, like, literally almost anything you ask them, it comes back to, like, we're focused on this week because this week helps us get to our larger goal. And while it is a distraction, and trust me, I don't know if you can tell, I'm not handling the last 24 hours well. I'm tired. Like, I'm just not in my zone. I think this team is set up to handle it well. Like, I really, really do. I'm excited to see them later today to, you know, it'll be a different media thing and see how they're acting today. But in a world where they're in the biggest party city in the world, they are dealing with all types of distractions they never have to deal with. They're getting pulled 800,000 ways, I'm sure. They're getting crazy questions last night. That, like, my big picture thought is, it is unfair to the players in the game that they have to deal with this week. But I think this team is, like, very well set up to deal with it.
Yeah, I said it last week after the game, after the Washington game. They kept saying the one more thing. I mean, Jordan Davis, Jeffrey Lurie on the stage said it. Like, this team has clearly had one goal in mind, and I think it's not 100%. Just this year. I think it was last year, too. It just fell apart. But I think since these guys lost the Super Bowl, like, get back and win it has been the mantra of everything. And makes sense. It jives with Jalen, the way he goes about his business with Nick and how competitive these guys are. And we've talked about how much we know it stuck with them, the Jalen Knox screen, all that stuff. So, yeah, I think this team is uniquely ready for the moment. I do. I think that all this stuff is just stuff and that they're there to play a football game. But, you know, guess what? The Chiefs are pretty good at that, too. They've done it a bunch of times.
So, well, that is where the
I think it matters, and I think the Eagles are in the right frame of mind, and I think it's what they have to do, and I love the messaging. But I don't think it's like an advantage over the Chiefs. I think it's just now you can play with the Chiefs.
No, yeah, I don't think it's an advantage either. But I do think what it is, too, is it matters that they've done this before, too. Like, they're used to the experience. Yeah,
it's not an advantage for the Chiefs the way it was last time. And look, we saw it. You talked about it when you watched the Super Bowl. We all remember it. Like, halftime mattered. Like, we don't know how much of a role it played in how the Eagles looked in the second half. But there is clearly a first half Eagles and a second half Eagles. And those two things are very, very different. So I agree with you. I think going through the whole experience, knowing what the halftime's like, knowing how long you're sitting there, knowing like all this stuff, what it's like to have a lead at halftime, all these things I think are super valuable experience for this next, you know.
Yeah, and Lane Johnson said something last week before coming to New Orleans, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he did reference how the long halftime, like, I think he said something to the effect of like they didn't handle it well.
Yeah,
I'll be curious to ask him more about that today, but. Yeah, so you're right. Like, I do think the coaching staff, now Lane had been in the 2017 Super Bowl, so, you know, I guess his experience didn't help him there. But
it's one thing when you've got a few guys who are in that game.
Exactly, right.
A whole team and a coaching staff and all that stuff.
Right, a way larger percentage of the roster and coaching staff has now been through this than the 2022 one had with 2017.
All right, let's get into last night, because, look, I think the vast majority of people who watched Media Night on television thought it sucked. If we're just gonna call it like we see it, it was
I'm curious for your perspective, because I had a different view of it, obviously.
Well, it just was a bad TV product. You couldn't hear the questions. They kept going back to the studio for long stretches of time. Like, it felt small, like it felt kind of empty in the arena there comparatively. Like, it wasn't like big pops for players when they were announced. There wasn't like the sound of a crowd buzzing and all that type of stuff. So just, you know, and it just, you know, when you think of Super Bowl media night, you think of whether it's, you know, Cousin Sal dressing up as John Casey in
and
doing that. You think about like the woman asking to marry Tom Brady in the wedding dress, like all these fun, like stuff that like adds character and fun. It's supposed to be a wacky, fun night. And now it just feels like a blown out press conference. You know, it's like press conferences with individual players, but it's like, I don't know. It fell flat for me.
So I also had that takeaway. And again, no big deal to me as someone that's covered five or six of these things. Like, exactly the wackiness, the wackiness has definitely gone away. Like, I feel like I look forward to going to it thinking like, what celebrity's going to be there? And the most famous person there last night was The Bachelor from like two seasons ago, which
That's tough.
I was hoping for more reality stars, but whatever. But regardless, like, there was one guy dressed as a genie, but outside of that, that was it. Like, it was literally just a ton of beat writers and TV people, like, crammed into a small place. I agree with you. Like, it's essentially pointless to try to even listen or talk to any of the big players or big people there. What I do think they could do, if we want to brainstorm on how it could be better, I think they just need to embrace the fact that, like, you just give a mic to the person asking the question at the podium and people 100%. Stand in line.
Like
everyone's yelling. You can't really hear. Like, it's hard for the players to even hear the question. That being said, I do think a lot of the personalities on the Eagles shined through last night. Like, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was a star last night. Like, he was having fun. He was eating the W cookie. He said the ring he'll put it on is his ring finger because he's married to the game. Like, he, I think, really shined through last night. Jordan Mailata, this was to be expected, but, like, he definitely shined through. He sang the Eagles fight song at one point. He, you know, he talked about the clip from the Washington game where he said, "Will I break your will or your body?" And, you know, talked about like superheroes. So, like, he shined through. I thought Nick Sirianni had some good moments.
Thought Nick was subdued.
He hasn't all year.
Like,
yeah.
I've noticed it every time we have Nick on the morning show. And I've talked like off the air. Like, when I talk to him, he'll like chuckle. He's cool. He gets on the air and they'll be like, "Hey, Nick, big win. You know, great job." He's like, "Hi, guys. How you doing?"
Yeah.
Like, he's very, like, he is very purposefully calm and dry and, like, not trying to give anything. And I felt like it was like that, like, when him and Andy were up there. It was just like, yep, they're great.
Well, we know.
Really excited. We love each other. You know, like, I think he is, like, going above and beyond to rein it in all these situations.
For sure. And we know why. It's because when he has those moments where he shows too much emotion, he gets absolutely obliterated for it nationally and locally. But like, yeah, so I think that's definitely part of it. I thought that Jalen really shined through too. Like he probably had the line of the night when
the DNA line was the guy, it was like the only funny moment all night. It felt like.
Yeah. The guy asked him, for those that didn't hear it, the guy asked him, you know, you're such a good looking guy. How can I get better looking? And Jalen was like, that seems like a DNA problem for you. So that was a good line. Saquon had the shot at the Giants. Did you hear this?
I sure did. Yeah.
I
took that partially as a getting Daniel Jones's back.
100%. That's 100% what it was. Yeah. So that was a cool moment. The other thing that stood out is like Cooper DeJean and Reed Blankenship, the whole like exciting white things.
They've leaned into it.
They have full time.
So much.
It.
I know.
They walked together around the entire. They walked together.
At the Sixers game when all those players were there, they're there together. And the
yes, exactly.
It just feels like they have been like, all right, we're the exciting whites, and we're gonna do this thing.
So I honestly couldn't tell if this is a parody account. So if I'm being fooled right now, like hand up, I got fooled. But I saw a tweet last night that they said they might start a podcast called The Exciting Whites, where they drink white wine, like. That seems a little like crazy,
a little over the top. Yeah.
Yeah. Now maybe someone asked him if they would
Cooper
do that,
legal
and they said
to
yes.
Drink wine. Is he old enough to drink wine yet?
It's a good question. I feel like he's over 21. Right? Yeah. I feel like he probably had a long college.
He looks
career.
Like he's 14, so you never know.
Exactly.
You
know? Yeah. But no, I mean, they're like Cooper's a star. Like people were yelling his name from the crowd. Like you can tell Cooper is already an outstanding player, but you can tell that if he becomes everything he can be, like he will be one of the biggest stars in the NFL for sure. So that stood out. It's also funny, like Quinyon, like obviously the better player, I think at this point, although Cooper's awesome too.
But Quinyon's better.
Quinyon played all year. Like he is such a quiet guy, you know, like he was definitely getting interviewed, but you could have walked around and thought that he was just like almost a staff member in the way of just like, you know, a lot of players had like glasses on or they're taking pictures or they're going crazy. Quinyon had a very Alshon vibe to him of like, I'm just here because I have to be here from 7 to 8 o'clock. Like, so the players definitely took it in differently. I talked to Cam Jurgens. He's going to play. One noteworthy thing, and I'll say it on the pod. I didn't tweet it, but like, I'm pretty sure Landon Dickerson sat down for a lot of the night, which is rare for a player. So I'll have to ask him more about that today, but I think he's going to play, but I don't know. I thought that was a little interesting. Maybe he just felt like sitting, who knows, but it.
Yeah. Or maybe they told him to sit. Maybe they said, hey man, sit as much as.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Right. Right. Like, yeah. I think it feels like,
look, we know he's not 100%. I don't
think
exactly. We saw him I said after the game, but he literally looked like a 95-year-old man who had just had hip surgery trying to walk along the side.
Yes.
Like, it was wild.
Yes. Yeah, no, so that was another takeaway. I'm trying to think. Obviously, we'll get into Jeffrey Lurie and Carson in a minute.
Well, that's where
yeah.
I was going to go next. Yeah, I think those were, I mean, we'll get to Carson in a sec. Your basic, you know, one-on-one with Carson. But you got the first person to get Carson on the record.
Had to do it.
Let's start with Lurie, because you made the point on the morning show, and it's so true that, you know, it feels like we used to hear from him a few times a year. Like,
yeah, he used to talk in training camp all
training
the time.
Camp. He used to talk at the end of the season in the locker room. It felt like he used to talk, you know, obviously the owners' meetings is still whatever. But you got to talk to Jeffrey a bit last night. Obviously, some interesting things came up. Of course, you asked about a freaking dome.
Of course, I had to. But tell me it's not the best quote that came out of him last night.
All right, so get into it. Like the Jeffrey stuff, what'd you make of what he had to say about the dome, about the Celtics, about all of it?
Yeah, so first, before those two specific things, like Jeffrey, obviously they're in the Super Bowl, so he's got a lot to brag about right now. But when he sits there and talks for a full hour, and a lot of the questions he gets are not from local people. He got a lot of local questions, but he gets national guys and all that stuff. And like, he's able to sit there confidently and be like, I have the best GM in the game. And like, every question he gets is like, you know, like, how is Howie so great? Like, how are you able, you know? So like, Jeffrey is in a good place right now. You know, like, Jeffrey's had a good life, to be clear.
Yeah, but Howie had Nick, and Nick's doing great. Like, it's like all the
exactly.
Like Jeffrey,
yeah.
Work, pal. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a lot of like, it is funny to watch beat writers from other teams. Like, I don't know if you cover the Jags, but you're here. It's like, they ask questions that are like, please explain to our fan base how my team can become good. Like, that's essentially the vibe of the question when, like, other beat writers ask Jeffrey about guys. But so he did a lot of that. In terms of, do you want to do the Knicks stuff, the stadium stuff? What do you?
Hey, buddy, you were the one there. Lead the way. Okay. You're the fullback. I'm just following. I'm Saquon.
Yeah, well, you, hey, yeah, Richie? Just yeah. go from Richie to Elliott. Similar yeah, vibes. Richie strikes me as an eye patch guy. I could picture Richie doing it.
He used to have the underneath there.
Well, no, but I mean like these ones. Yeah, yeah.
No, zero.
Yeah, percent. I don't know, man. Richie's in the style now. I'm telling
you. Yeah, only because like when people help him with style, I would bet everything I have that not only is he not an eye patch guy, he has never, he, no joke when I say this, he might not know that those things exist. Like that, maybe, that is something that people do.
I think he would like him if he did him, but I think so. He's a stylish man, but regardless. Okay, so I asked him, and I think this is maybe not getting enough play. I asked Jeffrey about like Nick's emotion on the sideline this year and how he handled it. And he said it's his, you know, it's a strength and a weakness of his. And he went on to say, you know, everyone's human, everyone has strengths and weaknesses, and he loves Nick emotion and it really, you know, blah, blah, blah. I just thought it was a little surprising he used the word weakness when talking about it. Like, it's pretty clear, and this isn't a secret, but yeah, I think there's definitely been times where Jeffrey felt Nick stepped over a line or he didn't like how he handled something. So I thought acknowledging that last night was different. We, you know, you mentioned how Nick seems subdued at times now, and I think that's certainly why. Like, I'm sure they have discussions and conversations about that. So yeah, I thought that was interesting about Nick. I wasn't there for the what he had to say about giving Nick an extension. Shout out to Ruben Frank. Apparently he's the one that kind of pushed him on it. So I guess at first Jeffrey Lurie was like, I don't talk about contracts. And then Rube pushed him a little more and said how at one point he said Andy Reid would be the coach for life or something like that. And he basically said he felt that way about Nick. So I think
we all know. Like,
yeah, Nick's going to get an extension.
If Nick does not get an extension after the Super Bowl, like, I will... Like, it'll be the most shocking thing that's happened in a long time in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He's getting an extension.
And also, I don't think the extension gives him more job security. Like, I think Nick has jobs.
But I think he has it coming off a Super Bowl.
Exactly, right.
But let's not forget, I mean, Jeffrey is the quickest to ever fire a Super Bowl winning coach in the history of the NFL. So, you know.
Right. Like, look, breaking news. Nick will be the head coach next year. But if they, for whatever reason, and they won't, but let's say they go like 5-11 with a relatively healthy roster, like, it doesn't matter if he just paid him a contract. Like, he'll still just fire
Jeffrey,
him.
Jeffrey will be willing to eat money. We know that.
Exactly. So this is more just, I think, like a attaboy kind of extension. Well, no, it avoids a distraction.
I think all, for the most part, unless it's Jerry Jones who and Mike Brown in Cleveland who seem like they're unwilling to pay extra money, the two cheapest owners in the sport and craftsmen. but he just fired a coach even after the first year. So I think ultimately it wouldn't, but also I think that Nick's not going anywhere anytime soon. So
no, I agree. 100%. Yeah. And it's not like it impacts the cap, but all right. So the stadium stuff, first, he didn't really say much about the Celtics. He says he doesn't have interest now, but you never know.
Like, so the way I interpreted his Celtics answer was, I'm not talking about this during the Super Bowl. Figure out what happens later. Like, he was basically I don't think he said, I'm not interested right now, but I love the Celtics. Great. Run, whatever. The way I interpret that was a whole lot of nothing. It was like, I'm not talking about this right now. I'm not creating a big distraction for my team while they're in the Super Bowl. Like, that's something I'll worry about later. But I do not think at all that it means that he's not in on by himself.
100%. I think that was a let's get out of here. And I do think
it was, you know, I'm not creating a distraction, period. Yes. Like, that was it. Done.
Well, and it's also, I think, like, you know, hey, the Celtics are good, or, you know, I feel like it's almost laying the groundwork a little bit for when he does. And I think he probably, well, he might not get the bid, but I think he will obviously try and
I think he'll be involved. Yeah,
for sure. The stadium stuff. So it came up because he was asked about the sports complex, and, you know, he said, I think he said the lease is up in like 2032 or something. So I do think a new stadium is on their mind, especially when the Sixers are building one. I'm sure they had discussions like, where are the Sixers going to build it? How will it look? And the Eagles, as the biggest dog in town, like, are clearly a part of that. And I think it's very clear, as I've always said, the new stadium will have a roof. Like, it will. And I think the way he explained it, where it's like, Philly deserves to host the Super Bowl, Philly deserves to have the Final Four. Like, to me, I don't I'm not saying fans don't deserve it, but I don't think fans care a ton. And correct me if I'm wrong, because you have a great read on fan base. Like, I don't think Eagles fans are going to be like super excited that the Final Four is here and that a Super Bowl is
here.
Look,
I think they, if you ask them, would you like to have a Super Bowl in Philly? Of course, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it will influence reasoning for wanting a dome or not, which I think most Eagles fans do not want a dome. I don't think people be like, well, at least we can get the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
think people will be annoyed about it, you know, one way or the other.
So, yeah, I agree.
Now, a retractable roof, I think, is the real solution for everything here, if that's what they're going to do, because I do think that you want to still maintain that Northeast football thing and all that. But, like, you know, it's much, much louder in a dome, as we've talked about. I think that's the argument you always should have taken.
It's the big advantage.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't think they will just build a dome. I don't think it'll be a stadium that is always covered. I don't think that.
So I don't think so either. I think it'll be similar to maybe what the Rams have, maybe not completely, but you know, I'd be curious to know this. I feel like every time I'm in a retractable dome stadium, the roof's closed. Like, I wonder how often you actually open the roof.
Well, so we know with the Arizona one, because of baseball, like they would have some closed, some open, depending in the playoffs. Remember that was like, are they opening it today? Like there's,
right.
So they do open it.
They goes do open both them. Ways. Okay. Yeah. But no, I think they will build a new stadium. It'll have a dome on it. And I would just say to fans, and I completely get it, like we're just coming off a Snow Bowl game that was insanely cool and awesome to look. I think my prediction is when they do this, for the entire time until they're in it, fans will be like, "This, I don't want this." And then they'll go in the stadium and it'll be like, this is unbelievable. So that's just the direction I think this is headed.
Yeah, I think a retractable roof is what will happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I do think they'll build a new stadium for sure. I think they want to build a new stadium. I think they should. I mean, like, Link is, we talk about, I mean, the compare, like, Citizens Bank and the Link both came around the same time, and Citizens Bank is freaking awesome and it holds up and it feels like a great place to watch a game.
100%.
And the Link feels outdated. It's felt outdated for a decade, you know, more, you know. So I just think I think they'll do everything they can to build a new stadium there, right? You know, obviously there's a lot of hurdles and things you have to do, but I think they will build a new
stadium. I agree, but like, there will be no more snow games, which will suck. Like, they will close the roof when it's snowing.
I don't know that that's definitely true.
Really? Like, you think they'd open it with the snow?
Yeah, I think that people love snow games, and I think that they know that people love snow games.
I'd be curious to see how they handle it. Yeah.
I do not think, I think it will be open more than closed. I think they will still play in weather. I think the dome is more to lure other events than for Eagles games. I think there's
truth to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see how they do handle it in 7 years when that we get that answer.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right, let's get to Carson, because you had a little one-on-one. You and Carson getting you know, into it a little bit. You asked all the great questions.
Thank you. Take
us through it.
Yeah, so I will say Carson probably spent a half hour answering the same questions once I was done. So that is my big picture takeaway from Carson was, I think he seems at peace with the Philly thing, which I'm happy to see. Like, I think he very easily could have been in a bad mood about it, doesn't want to talk about it. I'm here with the Chiefs now. I want to focus on the game. Like, I think that would have been a mostly acceptable thing for Carson to do.
I agree with you.
You know, instead, he sat there and he answered every single question. You know, do you wish things would have done differently? Which I asked him. And he said, essentially, yeah, of course. And that's true. Like, at one point he said, you know, nobody, when you get drafted by a team, thinks you're going to be gone in 5 years. Like, Carson was drafted to be the franchise guy for a long time, and he was close to being it. Like, it didn't work out because of injuries, but Carson was very close to being, and he was the franchise quarterback for, you know, 2 or 3 years, however long you want to frame the time. But he said, you know, he thinks of Philly fondly. He said he keeps in touch with Nick Foles. I'd be curious to know how much they actually talk, but he did say they.
He was effusive. He was very complimentary. He was like one of the best teammates ever had. All that.
Yep, 100%. Yeah, he said. Yeah, you know, I thought it was a little. He said, you know, what a magical run that was for him, which is true.
But noticed that.
It was a little interesting. And then I asked him about Jalen. I thought what was really interesting about the Jalen answer, and I'm curious if you picked up on this as well. Mm-hmm. My question about Jalen was, hey, did you think essentially Jalen would be this good? Mm-hmm. I didn't ask anything about like their relationship, blah, blah, blah. And in his answer, he unprompted was like,
about the COVID thing he talked about?
Yeah, he was like, it was hard to be close with rookies that year because of COVID. So it's pretty clear him and Jalen did not have a good relationship. Look, like, he offered that up unprompted.
No bleep. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Of course. Like, and guess what? If I'm Carson Wentz in that moment and they draft a guy in the second round, like, F that guy. Like, I'm just saying, you know, like, I would expect a competitor to be like, especially when you know it's because you could be on the way out because of it. Like, yeah, I don't blame him for any of that stuff.
Yeah. So that was his jail and stuff. But overall, my biggest takeaway from Carson was like, it was good to see him. Like, I will say, like, now that time has passed, like, I think it's cool that he was very friendly to all the Philly media. Like, he, you know, was like, how you doing? Good to see you. So he seems in a very good place about it. Now, he's on a stage in front of the media, so who knows privately how he feels. But last night felt to me like a beginning of mending the fences between Carson and, like, the city. Not that they're completely broken, but it was an ugly ending. You know, he played poorly, like... And I asked him, would he come back for 2017, like a 10-year reunion? And he didn't flat out say yes.
Like,
yeah, he wasn't like, you know, catch me there yet. For sure. Yeah. But honestly, the vibe I got is I think he will come back. Like, I think
maybe. I don't know. He might still be playing. Like, who knows?
Well, that, yeah, there's all those things. But in a world where, let's say, he has the ability to, I don't think he'll turn it down. I think
maybe.
Players will ask. My takeaway is I think he will come.
The impression I got was that it was more likely that it would come than I thought before, but I'm not at he would definitely come yet. Look, he should be okay with it. Like, he has $100 million because he played in Philadelphia. Whether, you know, he feels great about the Super Bowl ring or not, he still got to go on a run, and he got to, you know, win a Super Bowl. And he got, again, got paid life-changing generational wealth for his family and himself. Like, I get it that it was a frustrating way to end. You know, 5 years later, 7 years later, like, he better be able to step back and be like, wow, thank God all that happened. That was great. You know, so I'm happy that he's getting.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that he is. I think you would agree with this. Like, I'm sure it's very hard to get to that place despite the money and everything. But yeah, it was good to see him in a good place, I guess is the best way to put it.
Love it. All right, you got anything else from Media Night?
I don't think so. I feel like that was kind of like... You said it was a bit of a dud of a media night, like outside of Jeffrey and Carson, like, yeah.
All right, so set up today, and then we'll get to final thoughts. But what you said, the players are talking, like, what's the flow for today? What can we expect tweets about? And obviously what we'll talk about tomorrow, but what's the flow?
Yeah, so today's a little bit back to normalcy, I would say. So they're going to, we get them for 45 minutes. It's similar to media night where they all have to be available for 45 minutes. The difference is it's just quite not as crazy. So they'll have that today. Nick will talk today. I'm not sure if Jalen talks today, but it'll start to feel a little bit more, I think, like a normal week. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, they'll practice Wednesday, Thursday. I think they'll try to get, like we started the pod with, like as in much of a rhythm to a similar week as they can. So I think that kind of starts today.
Love it. Love it. All right, let's get to final thoughts.
All right. So this is not a great one, just being honest.
Really getting us hype for it.
Yeah, it is what it is. I think King of Queens is the most underrated sitcom ever.
Ooh.
I love King of Queens.
It's a question of what underrated levels. Like, there are shows, like, have you ever seen Happy Endings? The show Happy Endings?
No.
So there are shows that only lasted for a couple seasons. And like Happy Endings, if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor. It's like 66 episodes or 60 episodes, 22 minutes. It's a super easy watch. Like, it's freaking hilarious. Like, the whole show is freaking hilarious. If you go on any list of like what show got canceled and shouldn't have, it's on every list. Like, but so like, that's a show that is like not even rated because no one ever talks about it, thinks about it, got canceled. That is awesome. So I think that is in a way more underrated. But if you're talking about shows that were big hits that were on for a long period of time, I think King and Queens is up there. Might be.
Like, to be clear, Seinfeld is a better show. And
well, that's the point. Yes.
Deservedly more famous. But I enjoy watching King of Queens like almost as much. Like, I think it's just such a nice, funny, like, put it on. Yeah,
it's a great show. Great show. Arthur Spooner, a little.
He's amazing in it. Like, I think you could almost argue he's better in that than he is in Seinfeld.
Well, he's so much more.
Exactly.
He's only in a few episodes of Seinfeld ultimately.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a main character on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great. I mean, Patton Oswalt, obviously, you know.
Kevin James, that's a guy.
Dougie Heffernan. You couldn't remember Kevin James's name.
I could not, no. No, I could not.
Yes, Doug Heffernan, the great Doug Heffernan.
Yeah.
It's a great show. Leah Remini.
Yes.
Back in the day. I mean, whoo.
You know, tell
really
me.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Really high
great
level
show.
Stuff from Leah.
Also, to kind of piggyback off yesterday, just a phenomenal intro song. Like, all time.
Yeah,
like,
it's a good
you
one.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, nice all right. Done. Maybe a bit of a better final thought than I thought.
Only because I like King and Queens. You got lucky with that. It could have.
Well, I know. Otherwise, you would have. Yeah.
You're like, this reality show is really underrated. The conversation would have ended much quicker.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Do you have tweets or social media?
I tweet
things?
Occasionally. Yeah.
Yeah. No bleep. I almost cursed there, Tucker. That was an actual, like, I almost said no. The word that Elliot doesn't think should be a curse.
Yeah, so it would not really have been a curse. Yeah.
I almost said it, and I didn't. So, do you have any tweets, or I guess Instagram, or for me it's just tweets, but do you have any that have invaded your life to the point where, like, it's a part of your life? Like, so
I can't tell if you're kidding with me or not.
No. So I'm saying where it's like, so here's my example, and I think this is, it may be my favorite tweet, but it's one of the funniest tweets of all time. It's by at Skull Mandible. And I'm sure a lot of people see it. It's a very famous tweet, but the most cutting thing you can say is, who's this clown? Because it implies they're a clown, and B, not even one of the better known clowns. Now, so, the reason I bring that up is because every time the word clown, anything with a clown gets brought up in my house or comes up, Emily and I will be like, yeah, not even one of the better known clowns. Like, it is part of our life. Like, anytime clown comes up, we're going to make a joke about this tweet. Do you have any things like that that have permeated, like this, a tweet that has become part of your and Kristen's life or whatever? Where
yeah.
It's like
so,
a thing.
So one,
it's fun. It's fun. You know what I mean?
Do you want to know how I know this has infiltrated your life? This, no lie, has to be the fifth time you've read that tweet on the pod. So
there you go.
Like, okay, it's a great tweet. And so, like, you have backed it up, right? So for me, it's commercial tunes. Like, if I hear certain words, me and Kristen will, like, I can't think of one off the top of my head right now, but just like if she says a certain word.
So I have that too with like songs.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
Like it's a song from a Talking Head thing, but we'll always be like, I'm just a little freaked out. Like, it's a line.
Right, so one that I'll do is like, if she says the word clear, there's this commercial. It's like, things are getting clearer. Da-na-na.
Yeah. And then
like,
you start every singing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I think everyone has those things. And it's funny to think about what the most random of those are. That just have become part of your everyday life. I'll do the like don't put it in the newspaper that I'm mad. Like, that's one. We'll do it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, if it's like, you know, like those kinds of stuff, you know?
So I have to get to radio. I'm supposed to be on Radio Row in 12 minutes. So we do have to wrap it up. But the last thing I'll say is I think medical commercials have the best jingles. Like, medical commercials bring the fire when it comes to like sticking songs
good
in
question.
Your head.
I don't know. Like, we've talked on the radio, the Pepto-Bismol's one's my favorite. The, you know, upset
again, stomach. Medical
diarrhea.
Yeah.
You know that.
But again, that's a medicine. Like, that's a medicine.
So
like,
you're saying so. Anything related to medicine.
Yeah, like
so,
medicine.
I mean, but like, so gum back in the day, gum.
Gum would not qualify. They did too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, come on.
I'm saying wouldn't qualify as medical. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Your fresh breath goes on and on.
Well, not to mention Forever.
Say goodbye a little longer. That's one of my favorite songs. I love
Forever.
I love
by Chris. The song Forever by Chris Brown was originally a gum commercial.
How about that?
So there you go.
Yeah. Didn't know
Alrighty.
That.
Alrighty.
I'll forget it. All right. Go to Radio Row. We'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. He's William James.